Thank you. It is a blessing to be here tonight at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Last time I was here was for Justin and Kelsey's wedding, and then before that for AJ and Tabitha's wedding. And it's a blessing to be back here again after just about a decade now. And what a great church you have here. We talk to our kids, and each summer we try to do something with our family. And our summer's getting pretty packed, and summers kind of happen that way. And it started with my wife coming out here to visit Miss Tabitha, and then we thought, well, we got to send the girls because Jalen and Jessa, and man, they would just love that. And we have three daughters, but our older daughters, Kenley and Jules, are about the same age as their girls. And then it turned into, well, let's just have the whole family go. And so this is our kind of pre-summer vacation, and it's been just a blast, and we love this area. What a beautiful church and property you have, and it's been a blessing to be able to just send the kids out and let them play in the playground and play in the grass and not have to worry about a lot of stuff. And we're in a pretty busy area, and we are in Loomis, which is a smaller town in the Sacramento area there in the capital of California, but not quite like this. And so we've just had a blast this week, but great to be with you here at your church. And we love your pastor and the ministry here, and thank the Lord for that. I know that my book has been in the bookstore here and whatnot, and I just want to say a word about that, not to promote my book, but to promote your pastor, because the title of my devotional, I've written three, One Great Truth for Your Daily Walk, comes from, and that phrase is inspired by a phrase that your pastor told me as a young preacher. And I don't know if he remembers that meeting right before I was going into a meeting with the pastor and deacons of the church that we're at now. And there's a long story, but that meeting would have decided if God was sending us to that church or not. And you were visiting the area for something, and I prayed with you and Pastor Nichols, and we prayed together. And I remember you talked to me in that meeting about preaching and expository preaching, and said, I always try to go through and say, here, folks, here's one great truth. And that helped me as a young preacher, just talking about preaching. And that phrase has stuck with me in just my thoughts as I preach and whatnot. And so when I developed that devotional just for our church people, and it was really just for our folks, didn't really intend for it to be published in book form, that phrase came from your pastor. And I remember texting him saying, hey, do you mind if I use this for a book title? I'll send you the, what's it called? The royalties. So, you know, all the nice cars he's driving and all the big vacations. Now you know where it's coming from. No. But he's been a blessing to me, and just, that's just a small piece of his influence on my life. I remember you preaching in Bible college about Elijah and Elisha and him finding him working. I remember deciding in college that I'm going to work not after I graduate, but in college. And there's other stories I could tell, but your pastor's had a just tremendous influence upon my life. And of course, we love Brother Nichols and Miss Tabitha, and thankful for our kids being able to hang out together here. I've been asked about stories, by the way, for Brother AJ. And we grew up together since, I mean, practically birth. And so outside of family, we spent a lot of time together. Many of you know Justin. I'm younger than both of them, but I felt like the middle child growing up. You know how that goes? And they had the two brothers and two sisters, but you know, oftentimes we'd be hanging out together, and AJ and Justin, brothers, would get into it, and I'm just sitting there kind of enjoying the show. And I felt like just this kid just put in the middle of this family, and have loved their family, and certainly grown up to build a relationship with both of them, and love what God is using them to do here. And it's just been a blessing. By the way, I feel like I need to clear the air tonight and just make everyone know that my wife and I, we do like each other. We do love each other. And I say that, she's looking at me funny. I thought, we have not sat together one time. On Wednesday night, I was up here with our son, which I never sit with the kids. And so I thought, how do you keep these kids quiet? What do you do? And so if they were rambunctious, I was very out of practice. My wife was in the back. She's getting baby time with little Colton. And so, you know, she loves that. And then at the graduation service, I was getting my son with all the storm and whatnot. And this morning, she wasn't feeling well. And over there, and I thought, they probably just think we just hate each other and, you know, we're not doing good. And no, we do love each other, amen. But anyways, in all seriousness, it is a blessing. My prayers go out to you with the storm and whatnot. We see nothing like that in California. And you hear about earthquakes and stuff. I can't think of any earthquake I've ever felt or really seen damage from. And me and Brother AJ went to Nebraska for a summer when we were teenagers and got a taste of Midwest weather. And I'll tell you what, we were scared to death. I mean, lightning in the sky and tornado warnings and all this, and I thought, where did we go? Let's get a ticket, go back to California. This is crazy that people live in places like this. And man, it's just, it's a different animal. And we were driving through the city yesterday and just seeing the trees down and the wreckage to homes. May I just say, what a blessing to see a church band together in times like this. The theme for our church this year is others. And Jesus said it, the two greatest commandments is to love God and to love your neighbor. And there's just something to be said about a church that is not consumed with just their task and their duties and what they got to get done, but willing to help a brother or sister in Christ. And just really just being on the outskirts, looking in, being here with you this week, what a great representation of a godly, Christ-centered church. And so thank you for just following the way of the Lord. There's a lot more that I could say, but let's open our Bibles tonight, if you will. Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. There's a lot on my heart as your pastor asked me to preach tonight, and don't take it lightly getting this opportunity. I know how it is as a pastor, thinking about the year and thinking what you want to preach through, and then all the missionaries and evangelists that come in and preachers that come in, and I think, man, it's valuable the time that you get behind your pulpit. And so I do appreciate the opportunity to be here with you, and I take it very seriously. And I hope to be a help tonight, and that really is my desire. And we're going to look at the account of Jesus, and this is the scene of Calvary. I want to focus just on one area. We could talk about many, of course, as the Bible describes in great picture what Jesus endured on the cross for your sake and for mine. And aren't you glad, as they sang just a moment ago, that we are sinners saved by the grace of God, and it's not by our good works, it's not by our account, but it's by Jesus Christ that we have the opportunity for eternal life. And if you're saved, as Pastor so greatly preached this morning, you have that assurance. You don't have to wonder or hope so or cross your fingers or, you know, carry a rabbit foot with you on your keychain. You can know for sure that you're saved. And what a blessing to know what Jesus has done for you and for me. If you're able to tonight, would you stand as you read the scripture tonight? We're just going to look at a couple of verses here this evening. Luke chapter number 23, verse number 33. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Father in heaven, as we look at your word tonight, I do pray that you'd use me, Lord, as your messenger. And Father, may I be just that. God, may it be your spirit that speaks to hearts. May it be, Lord, you, the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing God, Lord, that works on us individually the way that you see fit. Lord, I do believe this is a message that really, regardless of age or season of life or circumstance, that every single one of us, we need. And this will hit home for every person, whether it be a current situation or whether it be something in the future or something in the past. And I pray, Lord, that you just, Lord, help me to be a help tonight. And Father, I thank you for your great example, Lord, and not just this area, Lord, but really in every area as we look at your life. And we thank you, Lord, and pray that you'd help us this evening. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When you study the scene of Calvary, there's many great examples that Jesus gives us, and I'd love to walk through you or with you through them, but I want to focus tonight on those sayings that Jesus said when he was on the cross. And if you know your Bible, you know that in the book of John, we have seven statements, the seven I ams. And then on the cross, we have the seven statements that he made. I thirst. It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I want to focus on this statement here tonight that he said in verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want you to consider this, that leading up to this event, the disciples had left him, Judas had betrayed him, Caiaphas flat out denied him, Herod was indifferent towards him, those who he wanted to help now were coming to hurt him. At this point, they traded Jesus for a crook, Barabbas. Pilate was too cowardly to stand up, and I think knew the right thing to do, but wasn't a leader and gave into the crowd. They, of course, they mocked him, they spat on him, they scourged him, they plucked his beard, they did all of those things. And if you and I were in the shoes of Jesus Christ, we would look to the people and we would say in this circumstance that their actions were unforgivable. Unforgivable. I wonder how many things in life that we look to and we say, that thing right there is what we would call unforgivable. Unforgivable. And I want to speak to you tonight as we look at that statement and just looking at this area of forgiveness. And my title tonight is this, Forgiving the Unforgivable. Forgiving the Unforgivable. My question to you is this, would there be anything or anyone in your life that you would say, it's just unforgivable? I can forgive this, I can let that go, I can get past this preacher, but that thing right there is just unforgivable. You might say, I can't get over it, I won't get over it, I can't forgive it, I won't forgive it. Can I say that Jesus gives us the great example? After all that happened that led to the Calvary scene, Father, forgive them. He didn't say, Father, before I forgive them, I want to know why. He didn't say, Father, before I forgive them, I need to make sure that they pay. He didn't say, Father, before I forgive them, I need to know that you're going to do justice in this wrong that they've done. He didn't say, Father, I need it to make sense. Do you realize this, that God doesn't owe us anything? God doesn't owe me a thing. He doesn't owe me an explanation. He doesn't owe me justice. He doesn't owe me his grace. He doesn't owe me his mercy. God doesn't owe me or you anything. And Jesus says so eloquently, Father, forgive them. Simple, powerfully put, Father, forgive them. You know, the truth is, friend, you'll never get the answers to all of life's questions. God doesn't owe us that. And truth is, we're just as guilty as anybody else. And may I say with this thing tonight that this is an area that you and I are going to get a lot of practice on in life. I want to ask you tonight, how many of you have ever wronged somebody? You said something, you put your foot in your mouth, all right, hands up around the room, and that didn't take you very long, because we know the truth, that we do things and we think, man, I shouldn't have said that, or I was just trying to be funny, and I said the wrong thing, or I did the wrong thing, or man, I could realize how that hurt you, and I didn't mean it that way, and we face all of that, so watch this. If everybody puts their hand in the air and says, I've done something to somebody in this life that has hurt them, then on the opposite side of that, that means that somebody's done something to you. And every individual in here will experience and put into practice this area of forgiveness. There's not a single person in this room that would say, preacher, that's for them, but it's not for me. Oh, that might be something they're going to have to battle, but it's not something I'm going to have to battle. I don't know anybody who forgiveness is their spiritual gift. Like, they just let things go. You can say what you want. You can do what you want. You can just walk all over me, and I'm just fine with it. The truth is, we have pride. We have, call it ego. We have our selfishness. We get hurt. We have feelings and emotions. We have all of these things. So watch this. Every one of us, we're going to put this into practice. And we're going to get a lot more practice on this in this life than we want to get. It's not going to be just one thing and then, well, I'm going to let it go. And then it's just, I'm not going to battle it. It's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be a worry. Really this, the great question of life is not whether or not you get hurt, but it's rather what you do with your hurt. And I'm preaching this tonight. I'm not your pastor. I don't know your families. I don't know your situations. I don't know the hurt, the strife, but I know this, that in churches, there's people. And with people, there's problems. And the more people, the more problems. And the problems create messes and strife and all of this. But I'm here to tell you this, that there is a way, but it's not the way that you want. The way that we want is justice. The way that we want is an explanation. And the truth of the matter is, we don't want justice, we want more. Justice doesn't seem like quite enough, does it? Justice doesn't seem like, you know, I'm the youngest of a brother and a sister and four stepbrothers and a stepsister. And, you know, I was the youngest of the family. And so I could cry, Mom and Dad. And they wouldn't come to me. They'd come to the older brother or sister. And Mom would take my brother, take my sister and take out the paddle. You know what I would do? I would hide behind the wall. And I would look over and I'd get to see what Mom and or Dad would do to brother or sister. I saw my mom break a paddle on my brother while he was getting whooped. And man, I'll tell you what, I enjoyed every minute of it. Every minute of it. We don't want justice, we want more. Well, we're going to get a lot of practice in this area. Forgiving the unforgivable. I want you to notice, first of all, the subjects of forgiveness. Jesus made the statement, Father, forgive who? Forgive them. Now, let me ask you, who was the them that Jesus was referring to? Well, was it Pilate who washed his hands and said, I want nothing to do with this man? Was it Herod who said, hey, I want him to do a miracle in front of me and was kind of just indifferent and oblivious to the matter? Was it Caiaphas who said, you need to tell me if you're who you say you are? Was it Judas who betrayed him? Was it the disciples who fled him? Who was it that Jesus said that to? And the answer is this. The answer is yes. It's all of them. It's not a select few. That's why I ask you, what is that thing in your life that you would say, I'll let it go and I'll let that person off the hook and I'll let that thing go, but that one thing or that one individual, it is just unforgivable. I would say that every person in this story, as a human being, I would say, Judas, unforgivable. Pilate, you had an opportunity, unforgivable. Caiaphas, how dare you, unforgivable. The disciples, are you kidding me? Unforgivable. And Jesus said, vaguely but perfectly, forgive them. Who? Anybody. Everybody. The truth of the matter is that this area of forgiveness is not a pick and choose in the Christian life. But like Jesus, Father, forgive them. Anybody, anything that is done to me in this life, Father, I will commit to you and I will choose in this life to let that thing go. And that's really what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not giving into something. It's just letting it go. It's not, well, I'm allowing them to hurt or I'm giving them the power or all these terms that we like to use. It's just simply, I'm just letting it go. The subjects of forgiveness. Let me ask you this tonight. Why is it that we remember those who have hurt us, but we fail to remember those who've blessed us? Isn't it funny? We can remember the bad. We can remember the hurt. But then you think about, well, anybody got a praise today? Anybody want to thank God for anything? But we've got prayer requests. And I have nothing against prayer requests. Jesus wants us to ask, and he wants us to plead. Can I ask you this? You know, why are we keeping score of the wrong really, really well, but we forget the blessings of God maybe even better? You know, I hear this phrase, and I like it. Well, I'm going to forgive God for that. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to forgive God for anything. You don't forgive God. You submit to God. God hasn't wronged you. God hasn't done anything to hurt you. God hasn't done anything but given you grace and the mercy and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, so that you can have eternal life. And watch this, never have to spend a day in the lake of fire. Forgive God. Forgive God for what? No, we plead to God that he will forgive us, and thank the Lord he's given us that promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You notice he doesn't say that sin or that sin. That's why we believe in eternal security. Forgive them. I believe this, forgiveness is harder because of those that we know and love. You know, it's easy to forgive the person that cut you off, you know, after you say a few words behind the wheel, amen? It's easy to forgive the stranger at the checkout line. It's easy to forgive somebody, you know, at a ball game or somebody at work, somebody that you're just passing by. Why? Because you don't see them every day. You're not reminded every day when you wake up of what they said and what they did and how they hurt and all these things. And the sad thing is in life that sometimes we treat strangers better than we do the people in our homes. The Bible tells us, and I won't have you turn there, but you might know the passage, Matthew 18. And that's the passage where Jesus speaks about dealing with church problems. And again, all churches, Regency Baptist Church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we all face problems. Why? Because we have people. Because you came to the church. Yes, you, because I came to the church. We bring problems with us. Because we're sinners. But the great thing is, God gives us the answers for how to deal with those things in life. I don't believe the answer is, well, I just can't go to that church anymore. Well, I guess I just can't live in this house anymore. I can't be around that person anymore. We had a lady in our church when I first started pastoring, and she said, Pastor, I'll do anything you ask, just don't put me with anybody. I just can't work with anybody. And I thought, really? I mean, there's nobody good enough that you can work with. Because I know this, that I probably bother people working and they think, you know, it doesn't work fast enough or he's not getting it quick enough or maybe he's not explaining it well enough or whatever it may be. The truth is, we bring problems with us. And I want you to see this. We struggle more with those we know. Jesus knows this. Matthew 18, and I won't have you look there or go through the passage, but Jesus says here, verse 15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." And Jesus goes to give more instruction on how to deal with conflict and bringing witnesses and then bringing it before the church. But notice that phrase, if thy what?
Brother.
If that person you know, that you love, that you've looked up to, if they've trespassed against you. And by the way, notice this. Jesus doesn't say, sit on the sideline and wait for them to apologize. But you got a problem, you go and deal with that problem. Amen. You know, the truth is sometimes we say things or do things and we don't even know that we hurt somebody. Right. And they got a problem and think, man, I can't believe they did that or said that or whatever it may be. And the Bible says that the victim or the person that felt the hurt is the one responsible for restoring that relationship. Now, I don't believe that that's God saying every Sunday we go to somebody and say, hey, brother, you didn't shake my hand on Sunday. I was really bothered by it. I mean, common sense. We should do better than that. But most of the time, someone says something, does something, they're oblivious to it. They don't know. They don't know what they did. They don't know what they said. You know, we get these things all twisted. Why? Because of Hollywood and social media in our modern day and age. And I'm just saying this, we have no idea. The world especially has no idea how to resolve issues with one another. But at some point, we're going to face this. And as a church, as Christians, we got to learn how to work through these things. Jesus says, if thy brother, and then he goes on to explain more things. And Peter goes back to that and says, well, hold on, Lord. If my brother has sinned against me, how many times do I got to forgive him? Lord, I didn't hear a lot of that of what you said, but I heard that first part. Letting it go and forgiving, I mean, seven times. And what did Jesus say? 70 times seven. The kids just had the school program. Wasn't that great on Friday night? Kids, how much is 70 times seven? Can we get one of the young people? All right, this section looks a lot smarter than this section. I'm just kidding. 70 times seven. Do you have a number? So seven times seven. Seven times seven and add a zero. 490. Good job. All right, 490. Jesus says not seven times, but 70 times seven. So get your notebook out, write 490 lines, and start marking down every time that person's wronged you. By the way, watch this. Per person, per offense. And when you get to 490, preacher, then you get to hold on to it. Is that what Jesus is saying? No, he's saying, just let it go. Stop counting. Stop keeping score. Pastor Charles Nichols, Brother AJ's grandfather, made a statement. His dad said it often behind the pulpit. He said, heaven has a perfect scoreboard. God has a scoreboard in heaven, and it always keeps the right score. Man, I love that. Do you know what God's saying? You don't got to keep score. You don't have to keep tally. You don't have to mark down, well, I let it go here and I let it go there. And if I could say this, that forgiveness, watch this, forgiveness is not an event. It is an act as well as a process. Let me ask you this. Do you forget every time you forgive somebody? We say forgive and forget. No, we don't. Why? Because we're human. Jesus says, praise the Lord, that when he forgives, he puts it in the depths of the sea. And as far as east is from the west, and we go to God and say, Lord, I feel bad about it again. Can I say that's the devil? That's not the Lord. He's the accuser of the brethren. Jesus says, what sin? I love that song. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. He's forgotten on purpose your sins. But I'm not God. And sometimes you forgive and watch this. You wake up and you get mad all over again. You get in the flesh all over again. You say, we got it right, but I'm just not over it today. Or today is just another day that I got to give it over to the Lord. It's an event, or it's an act, but it's also a process. Jesus said, Peter, you're going to have to keep forgiving. Per person, per offense. And at some point, you just got to let that thing go. Stop keeping track. Stop pulling up their feed and saying, well, look what they're doing here, and look how they're living there, and man, look, they're just living it up, and you don't know what they did to me. Well, God knows. Maybe I'll never understand. Maybe your preacher will never understand. Maybe nobody in this world will ever understand. But God says at some point, you got to let that thing go. It's an act as well as a process. Number two, I want you to see the source of forgiveness. the source of forgiveness. I asked your preacher how long to preach tonight, and he said 8:10. 8:10 is when you normally get done. And he corrected himself, said 7:10, but I didn't hear that part. And so we're just going to go on tonight. The source of forgiveness. The source of forgiveness. I promise we'll be as close to on time as possible. No matter how long it takes, amen. The source of forgiveness. Notice what he says. He says, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. You say, I just can't. Well, praise the Lord. You don't have to do it alone. I just don't know, preacher, if I can let this thing go. Well, praise the Lord by the grace of God. There's a Holy Spirit living inside of you and the power of God to help you with the things that you fall short with in this life. I, to be honest, I don't like to tell this story very often, but a year ago last month, I remember getting a call at college, and my cousin, who was more like a sister to me growing up, her life was taken by her husband. He eventually took his life later that day, and just a tragic story. I don't have time to walk you through all the events, but probably the hardest thing that our church has ever gone through, that I've personally ever gone through, and that I've seen our people gone through. And I'll never forget my uncle at the, I think it was a funeral, one of the services. He came to me and my father-in-law, Pastor Nichols, and he said, Preacher, I forgive him. The man that took my little girl, he said, I feel bad for him. Took her life on purpose. I forgive him. You know, I wish I was that good of a Christian. I wish, looking at Jesus' example, that I could say that I'm that good of a Christian. The truth is, we all battle with this. You might say, I can't do it. Can I say, if Jesus can, then you can. If my uncle can, then you can. I just can't. Well, join the crowd. The source of forgiveness. I love this. God wants you to forgive others, because the truth is, you're forgiven too. Amen. Ephesians 4:32, it's a great verse to memorize, is it not? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's what we call the golden rule. Treat others as you'd want to be treated. Do good to others. And watch this. In other words, Jesus is saying, I want you to forgive others just like I've forgiven you. You know, the truth is, there is nothing that anybody can do to me in this life that's worse than what I've done to God. There's nothing in the world. I mean, you put it all together. There's nothing that anybody or any situation can amount to how much my offenses stack up before the Savior. And he says, and I believe without hesitation, forgiven. You come to me, forgiven. It's not like we go to God and say, Lord, I'll plead my case. And God stands there and says, now let me think about this. This is a different kind of a case or situation. He just says, if you come, that's the only stipulation. If you'll come, if you'll confess, if you'll come with a broken heart. And the answer is, yes, forgiven. God says, I just want you to do to others what I'm doing to you. Give the same grace, give the same mercy to other people that Jesus Christ offered to you. You know, we hold on to things in life, and truth is, we think we're God. We think we know what justice is. We think we know how to deal with that better. May I say that your unwillingness to forgive is holding others to a standard that Jesus doesn't even hold you to. I believe it's clear in the Bible, and again, we don't have the time to go all through it, but we see that our relationship with others is directly connected to our relationship with God. Church, I'm saying that your relationship with other people is going to be a reflection of your relationship with your Savior. You can't say, I love the Lord, and be at odds with everybody in the church. You can't say, man, I just have a great walk with God, and you just can't serve with anybody, and you can't be kind to anybody, you can't forgive anybody. God says this, our relationships are connected. You go back to that parable in Matthew 18, and Jesus gives the parable of the man who sought forgiveness of a great debt and was given forgiveness, and then went to one of those that owed him a debt that was a much smaller debt, and took him by the throat, cast him in prison. And Jesus used that example to say, if you will not be willing to forgive others their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you. God says, you want to be forgiven, then you got to let that thing go. May I say, number three, we see this, the suffering in forgiveness. Father, forgive them. And there's this phrase, and I believe that we can relate. We know what this means, for they know not. They don't understand. I mean, can you imagine? We look back at this story and we think, the disciples, what were you thinking? Peter, what were you thinking? I mean, in the moment where it almost seems like it mattered the most to be faithful and to be true, Peter's the one who said, Lord, they all might leave you, they all might fail you, but I will be with you here to the end. And Jesus said it straight and said, here's the truth of it, Peter, and gave the prophecy of his denial. But we look back at this story and we think, I mean, this was the time to show your faithfulness to Jesus. And Jesus looks down at the crowd and says, they have no idea that this scene will be talked about to the end of time. They have no clue what they have done. Now, I'm thankful that the Lord died willingly for my sins. It wasn't their force that put him on the cross. It was a submissive will of the Son of God that placed himself on a cross of Calvary for your sake and for mine, and shed his blood so that he would defeat death, rise from the grave, and offer to us the gift of eternal life. He put himself there. But he says they have no idea what they're doing. Those who've mocked me, those who've beaten me, those who've scourged me, those who've done all these things, and we look at others and say the same. They don't know how much it hurt. They don't know what they said. They don't know what they did. And I've pastored long enough now to know that there is real hurt in this world. Homes all around are a mess. Good homes. And I'm not saying that we just can't figure this Christian life out. I'm just saying we're people. We're sinners. We face these things. They know not what they do. Can I say forgiveness is not a form of justice? It is a way that God has permitted you to move on. It's not giving in. It's simply letting go. It's not an understanding of your hurt. We have a responsibility with what we're going to decide to do with what's been done to us. Number four, and I have to hasten, we see the sins in forgiveness. Father, that's the source, forgive them. That's the act, for they know not, that's suffering, what they do. As I said before, the reality is we'll have a lot more practice, you know, in this area than we'd like to. You read on in the story. I mean, there's a lot of parts of the scene that gets me fired up as a Christian, and this part does the trick. The crucifixion, I'm sure you've heard many a sermons on the crucifixion, but crucifixion in Bible times when it was practiced, what was really the tension that led up to that moment. And once the individual was put on the cross, you know, tempers kind of scaled back and then people kind of went about their way. But the Bible says that when Jesus was crucified, that they sat there and they watched him. For 6 hours, they watched him struggle with every breath. They mocked him. They gambled on his clothing. I mean, absolutely evil. This wasn't intentions, motives, all those things. These were clear as day crimes that they committed. These were sins that they had done. And here's the question. What are we going to do with that sin? You know, we're going to learn something in the process of forgiveness. You're going to decide if your love for God is greater than your hate towards somebody else. Here's the question. Do you love God more or do you hate that person more? For some of us, it's I hate that person too much and I'm willing to put my relationship with God on the side because that sin is not worth letting go. Or this, you're going to decide you love your God more than you hate your hurt. And can I just leave with this thought, and I hope this is a help to you tonight, that forgiveness is as much for you as it is for anybody else. Forgiveness is as much for the forgiver as it is for the forgiven. They say that bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping it kills somebody else. You know, the truth is that those that hold on to hurt, you're the one that's suffering. You're the one that's going through life that's bitter and angry and hurt and resentful. When the person who has wronged you, and I'm not saying it was right, I'm not saying that it's excusable, I'm not saying that we should sit back and just let people have their way with whatever they want to do with us in life, but the truth is that if you hold on and don't let that thing go, you're the one that's going to be hurt. Forgiveness is as much for you, the forgiver, as it is for the forgiven. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I just challenge you this? Not to be like preacher, not to be like, he said this morning, a Baptist, all these things. Can I just encourage you to be like Christ? Amen. To follow that great example. May I remind you, it was your sins that put him on the cross just as much as Judas, just as much as Pilate, just as much as Caiaphas, just as much as anybody else. We are all a part of the Father, forgive them. When he said them, he was talking about you and me too. Forgive them, past, present, future, them, everybody. And if he's willing to do that for you, may I just ask you tonight, that thing that you would say unforgivable, would you determine, I'm going to be like Christ and let that thing go? Watch this, so the work of God can go on in my life. So that I can go forward in whatever God has planned for me and realize that that thing, if you're not careful, can cripple you. And you're the one that chooses what you do with your hurt. Father in heaven, as we close tonight, Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to, Father, see this beautiful example, Lord. These statements that you made, there's so much truth and depth to each of them. Lord, I really hope tonight that none of this seemed insensitive. I know that there are, Father, serious things that people deal with, and hurt and wrongs and crimes and, Father, past sins that have been committed and done. And by no means does it mean that those things are okay. But this area shows us there's a way. That there's a way for cleansing. There's a way towards restoration. There's a way towards healing. There's a way towards, over anything else, having a relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Lord, that you touch hearts tonight, and Lord, that it wouldn't be just one service, but that it would be a truth that, Father, we would hold on to. We all need this. Father, we're all going to have a lot of practice in this area. A lot more than we would ever wish for in this life. And I pray, dear Father, that you'd help us, Lord, to follow your example. Lord, to love people the way that you did. And Father, simply to show the grace to others that you've shown to us. Lord, help us, I pray, be with this invitation.